Grace and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the message today are two verses, one from the Old Testament lesson, where God told Abraham, "I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." And then later, Jesus telling his disciples about his death. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. As often happens in the Sundays of Lent, the Sundays that take place in the midst of the Lenten season, we are constantly being pointed toward the conclusion of this season, toward the events and our remembering of them and our worship during Holy Week. The lessons today are interestingly connected by three P's: a promise, a prophecy, an appointed statement. The promise was to Abraham and Sarah and all of their descendants after them. The prophecy by Jesus was to his disciples and to you and me. The appointed statement by St. Paul in the epistle lesson was regarding your sin and the reason that Christ had to die. He died for us while we were still sinners. It is this last point that we consider first. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, lest we forget all the remembrances from Ash Wednesday on through the 40 days of Lent, and the Sundays that occur in the midst of those 40 days, again and again we are reminded, dust you are, to dust you shall return. The wages of sin is death. And all have sinned and come short of God's glorious ideal. There is none of us who have sinned not, no, not one. Scripture again and again reminds us of our need for a Savior. Lent, Good Friday, the grave, but after that, Easter. Yes, we have a problem, but God has a better idea. And thus the title of our message today: God's idea, a son. From the beginning, God has always had good ideas. Remember how it all starts out in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created. God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on in the verses that follow to describe God's creative activity to create everything that was made. That's what it says. Not that God made, not that God Xeroxed, not that God built or developed, but God created. The word created here means created out of nothing, even. That is amazing in itself. We use the word created a little bit differently because we talk about creating something out of some other things. Constructing something engages only the mind and the hands, but creating engages the heart and the soul. You've probably noticed this in your own life. You might think of something you created recently or maybe a long time ago. I think back to the paintings and the sculptures and the pottery that I made on the potter's wheel when I was in an art class in high school. Seems like eons ago. It may be a painting, it might be a song, might be lines of that poetry that you wrote in your journal book and never really shared it with anybody else. because you wrote it just for you. How do you feel toward your creation? Good? I hope so. Proud? Maybe even protective? You should. I still have the different vases and pitchers and pots that I threw on the potter's wheel back in high school. I consider them works of art. Carolyn isn't sure why we still have them around the house. But we feel proud and protective of that which we created. When you create something, even though it's created out of something, you put yourself into it. Part of you lives in that project. It's an expression of you. Now imagine God's creativity. Genesis says, some was done with a word. Let there be, and there was. And some of it was done with things like the dust of the earth, and even a rib from Adam's side. But he created. How he created isn't always clear, but the one thing is certain. He did it with a smile. I'm thinking that when God created, he must have had a blast. I enjoy going to the zoo and seeing what he created, don't you? Imagine what he must have thought as he painted the black stripes on the white zebra. Or was it the white stripes on the black zebra? We don't really know, do we? Imagine how he must have smiled giving the giraffe a long neck. A gentleman met last Sunday evening when we were having supper in a restaurant. A gentleman came up to the table and said, I have a joke for you. Do you want to hear a joke? And well, we said yes, and we were kind of a captive audience anyway, and so you're going to get to hear it too, because you're a captive audience this morning. He said, why does the giraffe have such a long neck? My little granddaughter was there at the table with us. None of us knew. He says, God gave him the long neck because his feet stink. Could be, but I doubt it. God must have had fun putting a hump on a camel so we wouldn't mistake that camel for a horse. Hanging the stars in the sky must have been a blast for him. And putting all those colors in the sunset so that you would enjoy them year after year of your life. Amazing. And putting the purr in a kitten or loyalty in your dog. God made it all, and he saw that it was all good. And then as a finale to a brilliant week of creating, he had an idea for a companion, someone to love him and thank him. And so he made man in his image. And if anybody had been watching, and of course they weren't, they would have said, bravo, unmatchable, beautiful, amazing. But the applause would be premature. For God had yet to unveil his greatest creation. Because as the story unfolds, the serpent is allowed to put their loyalty and their love to the test. The serpent gives mankind both a line and a piece of fruit, and they fall for both. And so do we. And so we, like them, are sinful people. We who have tarnished the image of God, have turned away our face away from him by our sin, are in need of being turned back toward him, or the big word, reconciled. This one act of rebellion sets in motion a dramatic courtship between God and mankind, and the characters and the scenes change as we read through the pages of the Holy Scripture, but the action is always the same. The rebellion of man, then listening to God's word, repenting of their sin, being forgiven, and then again rebelling and repenting and being forgiven, and rebellion and repentance and forgiveness. If you think he did a good job with the sea, and he gave, and when he made the stars, just wait till you see what he does to get his creation to listen to him. the second P was a promise. He made a promise, and as our Old Testament lesson reminded us, it's a covenant. It's interesting that twice in that lesson it says, the covenant is not between you and me. God says, the covenant is between me and you. The covenant originates with Him. We don't meet Him halfway. He meets us all the way in this covenant. Abraham and Sarah were not chosen because they were so good. Abraham and Sarah were chosen because God decided to choose them and to use them to be the carriers of a covenant which down through the ages would continually be renewed. To a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman, God made a promise. You will get pregnant. And even though you have no descendants in your name, Abraham and Sarah, your children will number as the stars of the sky and as the sands of the sea. And we all know they only had one. But if we read on, we hear about more and more of their sons, of their grandsons and their great-grandsons, and on through the generations. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you're no longer to call her Sarai, but call her Sarah. The name Sarah means the mother of many nations. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. But there is more to follow. A woman turns to salt, but her family obeys and escapes from the fire and the brimstone of Sodom and Gomorrah. Flood blankets the earth, but a family and all the animals are spared from this judgment on sin. A bush burns, but it doesn't burn up, and Moses is called. The Red Sea splits in two, and God's people are led through safely to the other side and freed from slavery. The walls of Jericho come tumbling down, and God's people are allowed to enter the land that He promised them in His covenant. The sky rains fire and judgment, but they are not wiped out by it. A donkey speaks and delivers God's children from their oppressors. Talk about special effects. But these acts of God also hardly compare with what was to come. Determined to prove His love for His creation and for you, He walked incognito through His own world. Hebrews 2. In the past, God spoke at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. We just celebrated it not many months ago. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God walking in our world. God tested the way we are tested, only He did not disobey. But as beautiful as His act of incarnation was, it was not yet the zenith of His acts. So we come to the third, the prophecy. Christ Jesus, the idea, the answer. God's idea was a son. Not just a son who would have sons, but a son who would be the firstborn of all the rest of us who will live with Him forever in heaven. Like a master painter, God reserved His masterpiece until the end. All the earlier acts of love had been leading to this one. The angels hushed and the heavens paused to witness the finale. God pulled back the curtain of the covering of the holy place of His presence in the temple, and the ultimate act of creative compassion is revealed. God nailed to a cross. Nailed to a cross, God's Son. For you, for me, for all people of all time. And the disciples then began to understand His words. he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. They had only begun to understand when 3 days later they experienced the first Easter. You know where this Lenten season is going to end. You've walked through Lenten seasons before. You and I have been through Holy Week before, have we not? And we are going to be there again in just a few weeks. But the sweetness of the words and the awesome truthfulness of the sight never gets old. We hear him cry out, God's Son, nailed to a cross. We hear him cry out, it is finished. And the great Creator went home. The mission was finished. His mission was finished. And all the master painter needed to do was done, and was done in splendor. And because he lives, he is still not done. Word has it that he is creating a place for all of us who trust in him to come home. God's idea, a son. Amen. May God's peace, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds firm in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.